Psalm 16:11 and Isaiah 41:10 beside your Exodus chapter. If you want to just kind of put a piece of paper in there or mark them, and it'd be good. We're preaching on the amazing prayer of Moses, the amazing prayer of Moses. And I it's been a blessing to me. It's been a real help to me just to meditate on these things. You know, the Bible says to meditate in His Word. And as I meditated on His prayer, boy, it's really, really helped me. Let's read tonight, begin reading at verse number 12, and we'll just read through verse number 17. And Moses said unto the Lord, Seest thou say unto me, Bring up this people, and thou hast not let me know whom thou wilt send with me. I would like for you tonight to put yourself in Moses' spot, and maybe as a father you might say, Lord, seest thou how thou hast given me this family to raise? Maybe you parents, Lord, you've given us these children to raise. You've given us this home. You've given us this life to live. Lord, how are we going to do this? He's got a job to do. He's got a calling to do on his life. And God, and he's saying, Lord, you've asked me to do this. You've given this call in my life. Lord, how are we going to do this? And we ought to approach the Lord the same way. He said, now, thou hast not let me know by whom thou wilt send with me. Yet thou hast said, I know thee by name. That's it. You ought to underline that in your Bible. That's a precious thing that he knows you by name. And thou hast said, also I found grace in my sight. Now therefore I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight. And by the way, we have, haven't we? Amen. Haven't we found grace? You know, Ruth said, oh, you know, how many understands that the church is the bride of Christ? Amen. Well, Israel is the bride of God the Father. So you know what that makes us to Israel? Well, think about it. Makes us daughter-in-law, doesn't it? What was Ruth to Naomi? The church is the daughter-in-law of Israel. And I want to tell you something. You study how Ruth communicates with Naomi and relates to... What did she say to Naomi? Thy God be my God. Thy people, my people. Salvation is of the Jews. And, I don't know how I got off on all that. But boy, I'm telling you. I know now. Ruth said to Boaz, why have I found grace in thine eyes? I was driving to church this morning. Just said, Lord, why have I found grace in your eyes? Ain't nothing about me. I mean, I'm just be honest with you. I got what I deserve. I'd be in hell. Lord, why have I found grace in thine eyes? And I just love this passage of Scripture. He said, now therefore, I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy eyes, show me now thy way. We preached on that this morning. That was his first prayer request. Show me now thy way. And it wasn't, you know, so I can be successful in life or anything, but that I may know thee, that I may find grace in thy sight. You say, Reggie's already said that. You know what the Bible said? But he giveth more grace. You're going to need grace continuously, more and more and more as you progress on your Christian journey. I mean, you kids need grace for being a kid now. You're going to need more grace when you're a teenager. You're going to get no more grace when you get married. You're going to need more grace when you have kids. You're going to need more grace when you're grandpa and grandma. You're going to need grace and grace. Everything you do in life, you're just going to need grace. You're going to need grace. And so you see this manifold grace that Moses is pulling out here. In verse number 14, and he said, my presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. Here's verse 15. This is Moses' second request. And he said unto him, if thy presence go not with me, carry us not up. I want to preach tonight on the second aspect of Moses' prayer, and that was he requested, he beseeched God's presence with him. Now, this was critical because God had moved out of the midst of his presence, out of the midst. We're not talking tonight about the omnipresence of God. God is omnipresent. He's everywhere, okay? What we are talking about is a special presence that the Lord has and wants to have in our lives. And I want to tell you, this is so precious to me. This is so precious to me. I will tell you tonight, if there's one thing that has kept me and carried me all these years of preaching, it's the presence of God. Am I holy? Am I spiritual? Am I somebody? No. But I'm going to tell you what God said to me in spite of myself. He said, fear not, Reggie, for I am with thee. What does that imply? The presence of God. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. And he goes through. And I'm going to tell you tonight, the biggest thing you ought to want tonight is the presence of God. And so let's pray right now. And you pray, dear Lord, I want your presence in my life. Father in heaven, we thank you, Lord, for your precious eternal, preserved, wonderful word. And Lord, tonight we read here where your servant Moses, a man who was your friend and you were a friend to him, who communed with you, who walked with you, Lord. Lord, who had a work of grace in his heart, Lord, that astounds me as I look at him. Lord, he said, Lord, that if your presence wouldn't go with him, he didn't even want to go. And Lord, I pray tonight that we like Moses. Lord, I want your presence. I want your presence, Lord, personally. When there's nobody else around, ain't nobody else watching me. Lord, I want your presence. Lord, I want your presence in Karen and I's marriage. I want your presence in our home. I want your presence, Lord, in my work. And oh God, we need your presence in our church. Lord, this is what makes all the difference in the world. And Lord, give us a heart like Moses had. That Lord, if your presence is not with us, Lord, that we wouldn't even want to go. And we won't go, Lord, until your presence is with us. Lord, your presence makes all the difference in the world. Lord, when trial and trouble and heartache and tragedy comes, Lord, when that special presence of God is there, Lord, we can sustain. We can even rejoice. We can be content. We can handle it. We can endure. But Lord, if that presence of God is not there, Lord, it's hard to bear things. So Lord, I pray that this message and this passage of Scripture would become precious to all of our hearts tonight, dear God. And that, Lord, we would want to day by day and moment by moment live in your presence. Lord, hear our prayer tonight as you heard Moses' prayer. And I pray, oh, Holy Spirit of God, I want to thank you that you said you would never leave us nor forsake us. That you would be with us, Lord, to the ends of the world. I thank you for your presence in Jesus' name. Amen. I don't know how this is going to go tonight, but I want you to pray for me while I'm preaching because there's a side of me tonight as a pastor, as just an under-shepherd of the Lord, that I just want to be real calm and methodical and just, and another side want to jump and just holler. But I tell you, this thing is a precious, precious thing. Let me tell you something. After you've left church tonight and you've gone home, when you're at your house, the biggest thing you're going to have, the greatest thing you'll ever have in your life is the presence of God. When your friends have forsaken you, when your health is gone, when your finances is in all, anything that can happen in this world, having the presence of God in your life is the sweetest thing and the most sustaining thing I know of, and I'm not kidding you. I'm deadly serious about what I'm preaching tonight. I want to give you something about what the Bible says about the presence of God. It's pretty interesting. When Adam and Eve sinned in the Garden of Eden, does anybody know what the Bible said they did? They hid themselves from the presence of the Lord. Somebody says, well, getting God everywhere? He is, but we're talking about this presence. It's the idea of having that fellowship, that favor, that friendship, that companionship with the Lord that you don't normally have except with that relationship with Him, fellowship. And the Bible said they hid themselves in the presence of the Lord. You know what I found out? When I'm not right with God, I don't want to be in His presence. How many's ever had you know, when you was growing up, you was doing something you shouldn't have been doing, and you seen your mom or dad was present, and you didn't think they were present. You didn't enjoy their presence, or maybe you was doing things that you wanted to hide from the presence of your father and your mother. Well, you know, that's the way it is with God. If our heart is right, if our heart is where it needs to be, we'll want to be in the presence of the Lord. We'll want God's presence and long for His presence in what we're doing. But Adam and Eve, they hid from the presence of the Lord. They had a son by the name of Cain who murdered his brother. And the Bible said that he went out from the presence of the Lord into the country of Nod, which means wandering. He just wandering through life away from the presence of the Lord. In Leviticus 22, verse number 3, the Bible teaches us that if we try to serve the Lord, not clean in our hearts, that we'll be cut off from the presence of the Lord. In other words, God says, don't try to serve me and live dirty. My presence won't be with you. It don't work that way. We need to understand that. God's blessing, God's favor, that sweetness of the Lord, that communion with God, God's blessing upon you. He said, don't try to serve me and not be clean. It talks about here in 1 Chronicles 16:27, the Bible said glory and honor are in His presence. The Bible says strength and goodness are in His place. In verse 33, the Bible says the trees of the wood will sing out at the presence of the Lord. Isn't that something? The trees will sing out at the presence of the Lord. Excuse me while I take a drink. in Job 23. Or in Psalms chapter 9, verse number 2, the Bible said, my enemies will fall back at thy presence. You think about this. If the presence of the Lord is with you, God says your enemies will fall back because it's his presence that they're going to fall back from. In Psalm 16:11, the verse we looked at this morning, in thy presence is fullness of joy. Could anybody stand fullness of joy tonight? God says, if you can get in my presence, there'll be fullness of joy. In Psalms 51:11, when David was praying that prayer to get back to God after his sin with Bathsheba, he said, cast me not away from thy presence. In Psalm 68:2, he said, the wicked shall perish at thy presence. In Psalms 95, verse number 2, he said, come before his presence with thanksgiving. God says, when you come before his presence, now that just doesn't mean church. It means you get up in the morning and you begin to talk to the Lord. You come before his presence with thanksgiving. I want to tell you something. Every good gift and every perfect gift cometh down from the Father in heaven. Amen. We ought to have a spirit of thanksgiving. And he said, when you come into my presence, you come in with thanksgiving. In Psalms 97:5, the Bible said the hills will melt at the coming of the Lord at his presence. You talk about somebody's got power when the presence of the Lord comes and the hills begin to melt. In fact, the Bible said the mountains will flow at the presence of the Lord. The Bible said in Psalms 100, verse number 2, it said, come before his presence with singing. So he says, when we come in his presence, we ought to be singing. We ought to have thanksgiving. We ought to have joy in our hearts. And in Psalms 114:7, the Bible said, the earth will tremble at the presence of the Lord when he comes back. The Bible said, David said, whither shall I flee from thy presence? In Psalms 140, the upright shall dwell in the Lord's presence. In Jonah chapter 1 and verse 3, you know what the Bible said about Jonah? That he fled from the presence of the Lord. He didn't want to be around God. He got in such a state and messed up in his heart and his mind, didn't want to be around the Lord. In Luke chapter 1 and verse 19, the Bible tells that Gabriel stands in the presence of the Lord. The Bible tells in Acts chapter 3 and verse 19 that revival, that refreshing comes from the presence of the Lord. We ought to want the presence of the Lord because that will bring refreshing and revival to our lives. The Bible said in 2 Thessalonians 1:9 that the wicked, the unsaved, shall be punished in everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord. One thing about hell, you're going to be away from that presence of the Lord. Jude chapter 24, I love this verse. The Bible said Christ will present us faultless before the presence of his Father. Isn't that something? God's going to present us faultless before his presence. Well, we talked about seeking God's path tonight. Let's look at seeking and praying for God's presence. Early in the chapter, he said, in verse number 3, he said, I will not go up in the midst of thee. And Moses wanted God in his midst. He wanted his presence there. And, God was not forsaking Israel. I want you to get this tonight. God has said, Jesus has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Is that not right? God had promised Israel that he would never leave them. He had made a covenant with them. But he did remove his presence. And this is what I want us to get to tonight. It's one thing to live with God on the outside of the camp of your life, and it's another thing for God to live in the midst of your life. That special, sweet presence of the Lord that is really determining the way that you live, well, the first aspect of his prayer. But this is what sin had done. It had removed God's presence from their midst. In Isaiah 59, verse 1 and 2, he said, God's ear is not heavy that it can't hear. His hand is not short that it can't save. But he said, your sins have separated us from us. Again, in Genesis 3:8, Adam and Eve, when they sinned, they hid from the presence of the Lord. But Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5 said, he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. But you know what? I don't want God in the back seat of the car of my life. I don't want God back in the trunk of my life. I don't even want God on the right-hand side. I want God in the driver's. I want God in my presence. I want God in my presence of my life. But sin and disobedience and worldliness, and this is why we need to get a hold of God's Word. It'll cause the presence of God. It's not that He's forsaken us. It's not that we've lost our salvation. It's that we lose that presence of the Lord through sin and disobedience in our lives. I want God's presence in my individual personal life, and I want God's presence in this church. I want God's presence in America. Amen? I want God's presence. Moses pleaded for God's presence, and you and I ought to too, and I want to challenge you this week. Lord, show me thy way. Lord, give us your presence. Lord, live in the midst of my heart. Live in the midst of my mind. You know what? If God is living in the presence of my mind, I'm not going to have as much junk going through it. Amen? If God is controlling my tongue, I'm not going to say things that I would have normally said. I'm not going to think things. God's presence is going to make all the difference in the world in my life. We ought to want God's presence in our hearts. Oh, no, God wants presence in our home. I'm going to tell you what, I want God's presence in our home. That house that I live in, I want God's presence in. I want God to feel welcome there. I want God to feel at home there. I want God to feel comfortable there at our house. And I want God to feel present at this church. And I want God to feel present at where I work. I'm not over here. My work life is not separated from my spiritual life. It is part of my life. I want God's presence in what I'm doing, in my decisions, in the work and in business and all that kind of stuff. God promised His presence in Matthew chapter 28. He said, go in all the world and preach the gospel. And He said, lo, I am with you until the end of the world. Amen. In Isaiah chapter 41 verse 10, He said, fear not. When I started preaching, don't ask me why, I got a little memorization book and I began to memorize scripture. As I was memorizing the scripture, I memorized Isaiah 41 10 and the Holy Ghost of God locked that verse down as a ministry verse for me for the rest of my life. It is now more precious to me than it was when I first memorized it. Fear not, for I am with thee. What's that telling you? He said, Reggie, my presence will go with thee. What I sent you out to preach, I'm going to be with you. You know what holds me up? You know what keeps me going? It's the presence of Almighty God. If I know God's with me, I don't worry about the rest of it. Amen. If He's with me, the rest, it'll be all right. I'm with thee. God promised Moses His presence. And then there's a priority of His presence. He said, if your presence goes not with me, I don't want to go do it. Let me tell you something. If God's not in it, stay out of it. Amen. If God's not in it, stay away from it. You're thinking about doing this, that, or the other. The other morning, poor Karen, pray for her. You know, I'm one of these guys, you know, if I lived to be 1,000 years old, I'd be in 2,000 different businesses. I'm a jack of all trades and a master of none. But I just like doing things. I mean, if I lived long enough, I'd like to do all kinds of things. I'd just love to do all kinds of things. You know, I really would. I'd love to learn how to sail, but I don't live close to an ocean. I mean, I just all kinds of things. I'd like to build this. But anyway, I was thinking about doing something the other day, and I don't throw fleeces out very often. But this decision I was making, I told the guy I'd let him know by noon. Well, I went out in my truck, and the clock's going down, and I can't get peace about what I'm supposed to do, what I'm not supposed to do. So I got my Bible out, and I started reading. I said, you know how I do it. You've done that, ain't you? You know, Lord's going to jump a verse at me. I did that 3 or 4 times. Nothing jumped out at me. But anyway, finally, something did come to me. Something did come to me. And the Lord said, you know, Reggie, here's what you offered. And you just need to stay with it. And here's what happened to me. I thought, you know what? I'm going to be content. I just stay where I was at. Stay with what I offered. And if He doesn't take that, then you be happy and tell Him to be happy. But if He takes it, then I'm with you. And you know what I got? I got my heart, got my mind in such a state. I said, Lord, if He accepts it, fine. If He don't accept it, it's just fine. If He doesn't accept it, I want it to be best for Him, best for me. And I'm going to be, and I told the Lord, I said, Lord, I'm going to be happy with whatever happens. You know, that's what I did. And I'm happy about it. You know what? I just feel like God gave me that way to do it. He just said, Reggie, now here's what I want to know. I don't want to know about what you think about the whole thing. I want to know, do you want my presence and do you want my purposes in what you're doing? Or are you just over here chasing a rabbit trail, something you want to do in life? Now, I've done a lot of those, and maybe this is another one. But what I'm saying to you, I didn't just jump off and say, Lord, you stay over yonder because I'm going to go over here and do this. I said, Lord, I want your presence in what I'm doing. I've lived long enough to know that if God's presence is not in what you're doing, it ain't going to work. In fact, it's not only going to work, it's going to work against you. And you wish you'd never seen it. And so what I'm saying is this. I called the guy up. I said, listen, I appreciate everything. I said, but I've been, I just told him flat out. I said, I don't know whether the guy's saved or not. I had never met him, talked to him on the phone. I said, I'm just telling you, I've been praying about this, and here's the answer the Lord gave me. I made you an offer the other day. If you want to take that offer, then I think that's what God wants to have. But if you don't, I'm going to be tickled and smile and know I've been in the middle of God's will, and it'll be the best for you too. So there's no pressure about nothing. You don't do nothing unless you want to. You know what He said? You just bought it. So I hope I'm in the presence of God. But what I'm saying is, you know what? I have some peace about that. You know what I'm saying? I didn't just jump into rabbit trail. I sought God about that. And I said, Lord, I want your presence in the midst of this. Now, that don't mean that everything's going to go wonderful and everything's going to go lovely in life. I'll tell you what, Moses was in the presence of God and everything wasn't going wonderful. Every time he turned around, he was griping and moaning and whining and complaining, and I mean that rebelling and everything else. It doesn't mean just be, hey, listen, being successful at whatever you're doing doesn't mean God's not in the presence of it. Sometimes it's the trials and everything that God's doing behind the scenes in your life that's the most manifestation of His presence. But anyway, this world is always trying to evade and avoid God's presence. There's going to be a time when they cry for the rocks and the mountains to fall on them to hide them from the presence of the Lord. Well, I want to give you about 7 products of God being present in your life, and He'll let you out, let you slide home. Number one, you look in this passage of Scripture in Exodus chapter 33. The Bible teaches us that there is assurance in God's presence. Look at verse number 16, where it says, "Wherein shall it be?" And there's an important word, known. A lot of people don't think you can know God's will. A lot of people don't think you can know that you're saved. God is not a pagan God who wants to torment you in questioning and wondering all of your life. He wants you to know whether you're saved, and He wants you to know whether you're lost. By the way, He wants you to know whether you're in His presence or whether you ain't. And Moses said, "Wherein shall it be known? For wherein shall it be known here that I and the people have found grace in thy sight? Is it not that thou goest with us?" He said, "Lord," you say, when you've got God's presence in something, you can have assurance. You say, "Reggie, how did you make that decision, that business decision?" "Well, I sought the Lord. And I did throw a little fleece out there, but I had peace about it." It was like God said, "Here's how you handle this, and here's how I'm going to confirm to you and give you assurance that it's okay. Because I don't know the future." How many of you ever thought you really had it figured out and you found out you didn't have it figured out? How many of you guys ever told your wife, "Honey, I believe this will work"? How many of you women ever said, "I wish I'd have told him I didn't think it would work, but I knew he was going to do it"? How many of you wives ever been there? There ain't no use talking to him. You just as well say, "Well, just do what you think you need to do." You got a good wife, amen. I'll be praying for you, even when you're in the ditch. Well, listen, the presence of God will give you assurance about things. You know what? The Bible said, "The Lord is my shepherd." God wants to give you assurance with His presence. You know what? I want to know God's with me in a deal. You know, I wouldn't want to pastor this church if I didn't think God's with me. But I'll tell you, if I think God's with me, I'm ready to charge hell with a squirt gun. Amen? Go get Him. Amen? If God's with you, if God be for us, who can be against us? If God's presence is there, man, I'm telling you, it makes all the difference. So it gives assurance. It won't tell you something. I don't worry about stuff if I know God's presence is there. That's what I'm talking about, assurance. Well, I don't know. Get in the presence of God. Get God's presence, that's the matter. And you can get over that wondering and stuff. You can have assurance. Second thing that God says here, He said, you can know. He said, your presence goes with it. That's how folks are going to know that we're the Lord. He said, the second thing there is in verse number 16, where it's identification. Look what He said there. "Wherein shall it be known here that I and thy people have found grace? Is it not that thou goest with us? So shall we be separated, I and thy people, from all the people upon the face of the earth." Let me tell you about one of the products of God's presence. It'll be separation or identification. Are you with me? Lost people, worldly people, carnal people don't care about hanging around with somebody who's walking and living and acting and working in the presence of God. It will separate you. And this is the glory, this is the goodness of why you want to have the presence of God with you. Because having the presence of God will make, deceivers nervous. Are you with me? They'll make people whose motives aren't right nervous. Because I want to tell you something. God separates those where His presence is. The world does not come to the light because they hate the light, because their deeds are dark. God's presence is light. And in that light, it'll cause people to pull away and you'll be separated. This business of separation, folks, is not you going out and buying a new world wardrobe. This business of separation is you walking in the light of God, in the presence of God, and those who aren't right in their heart, they'll say, "Man, I won't be around that light. I'll get exposed." I'm telling you, to be honest about it, the older I get, the further I go on, separation is not a matter of me doing anything. It's a matter of me living in the presence of God. The world will separate itself from you. They just won't want to hang around you too close. I mean, when it makes them nervous when you talk about God, when it makes them nervous when you pray, when it makes them nervous when you acknowledge God, when you say, "Listen, we need to ask God about what we ought to do here, or we need to acknowledge the Lord in this." Like, I'm telling you something. I'm just going to say it's nine, and I hope my boys don't get mad at me. But I can't help it. I just preach about everyday life. I can't help preach about real examples. Amen? But my boys, they put some verses and stuff in their business place stuff, and they had a guy make mocked and made fun of that. You know why he mocked and made fun of it? Because the presence of the Lord made him mad, made him nervous. He won't be around it. I'll tell you something. I've had people, somebody was talking the other day, Sister Terry was talking about the first time they ever came to an auction, Ed went to an auction, he come home and bought the bidder's card home, and there's a verse at the bottom of it. She said, you know, Reggie, I thought that was, you know, kind of neat that somebody put a Bible verse. I've had people mock me and make fun of you. I'll tell you what, why don't you just keep your religion to yourself? You're always Bible banging around. That stuff's not easy to take. You don't kind of like that, but you want to do it, it'll separate you. It'll identify you. And here's the deal. First thing is, they're going to check you out for being a hypocrite trying to use the Bible and religion as a cover. That's what they first. See, it's not really against. This is something you need to get a hold of. It's not really so much against you. It's just that they honestly think that you're using religion as something to help your business. That's what they think. Kenny, you've got something about Christian-owned business on your business card, ain't you? Exactly. Now, simply when people look at Kenny, especially his competitors, are you listening to me? And we say, oh, he just uses the Bible. He's just using that stuff for business. And then there's other people, they're not your competitors at all, but they're wondering if you're not using religion as a cover, you're not using that to get in the door. And then when you get in the door, you do them dirty. That's how people think. So don't take it personally whenever somebody rejects what you're doing and your statement of faith. But what it will do, if you've got an atheist, he's probably not going to hire you, Kenny. Just hate to tell you that. He's probably not going to hire you, but you might be better off. It will separate you. It will identify you. What you've got to do is just be consistent after 10 or 15 or 20 years. You just keep being there. You just keep living in the presence of God. Keep walking with God. And God will take care of all that separation business. And you know what my wife has told me many times? Once in a while through the years, you know, I'd see a sale I didn't get, and I'd go, boy, dadgum, wish I'd got that sale. She said, Reggie, is God in control or not? God wants you to have that auction. You've got it. God may know you're better off without it. And it's the truth. Let God do the sifting. Let God do the sorting. Walk in the presence of God and let Him take care of all that. Well, we got to move on. But anyway, then the third thing is when you walk in the presence of God, not only will He give you assurance and confirmation, not only will He give you identification and separation, but He'll preserve you. Did you know that it was the presence of God that preserved them? Oh, here old Pharaoh came. God was in there. His presence was in their midst. It protected them. I'm going to tell you something about the presence of God. It will protect you. Can I say something to you? I would say this to all the women in this church. Listen to me tight tonight. We are living in a nation of perverts. Are you listening to me? We are living in a nation of unleashed perverts. People who are walking around you every day who are steeped into pornography and some of the worst perversion that you could imagine in your mind. There are people you're walking near that will slit your throat, rape you, kidnap you. And I want to tell you what you women, every one of you need desperately is the presence of the Lord. There needs to be the presence of God. And that's why crying out to the Lord. And I say that because I love you. I care about your life. Can I just say something to you tonight? Do never allow yourself to get in a situation or a position of where it's questionable about your safety. Don't even get close to that. Okay? There's a lot of junk going on, phone calls, checking to see if anybody's there with you, repair situations. My wife got a call the other day, beat anything I ever seen. I don't know all about, but it's just a weird call. And the whole idea about it was that they're supposed to be at our house to repair something. We don't know nothing. She said, Reggie, I don't know anything. I said, I don't know either. Sounds awful stupid to me that they're supposed to be at our house doing something I don't know nothing about. I'm just saying this to you. But you know something? The presence of God will protect you. The presence of God will protect you. That's why the Bible talks about crying out to the Lord. I'm going to say this to you. If you ever get attacked, cry out. Say, oh God, in Jesus' name, save me. Get the presence of God in that situation. Have the presence of God. I'm going to say another thing to you. Don't ask God to protect you if you're walking around half naked and seductive either. Because you're not living in the presence of God when you're immodestly dressed and dressing in a certain way that would cause men to look at you with lust. Because a pervert will go stark raving crazy looking at you. And he'll start devising ways in which he can accomplish his devious and wicked ends Just trying to help you tonight, okay? Live in the presence of the Lord. Live in the presence of the Lord. I'm going to tell you something. All hell itself cannot come against the presence of the Lord. It is your preservation. Psalms 31:20 says, thou shalt hide them in the secret of thy presence. God's presence had preserved them. The next thing God's presence will do is give you illumination or give you wisdom. What did that presence do, that light? It guided them on their journey. God's presence will give you light. Jesus is our light. The Bible said we're to walk in the light. Can I tell you something? I'm not stumbling through life. I'm not stumbling through life. I'm walking in the light. Can I tell you something? I know where I came from. I know where I'm at. And I know where I'm going. I know what the future holds. Somebody says, boy, I tell you what's going to happen? I can tell you what's going to happen. This thing's going to wax worse and worse. And the whole world's going to worship the Antichrist for this thing. But the Lord Jesus Christ is coming back. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. That's what's going to happen. That's what's coming down the pike. It's going to get worse and worse. The armies of the world are going to gather against the Lord. I can tell you, that's what's going to happen. You just get ready for it. It is happening. I'm not wringing my hands wondering what's going to happen. But I'm telling you something tonight. Listen, it will illuminate you. You don't have to be fretting and worrying about stuff. And by the way, His presence will illuminate you about making decisions, about what you should do, what you shouldn't do, and where you should go, where you shouldn't go, and stuff like that. I'm talking tonight about a sweet thing in the Bible called living in the presence of God. And Moses thought this was so important to life that he said, Lord, if your presence doesn't go with me, I don't want to go up. Now, that's important. There's another thing about the presence of the Lord it'll do. It'll give you delight. And this is where that verse, Psalm 16:11, comes in. In thy presence is fullness of joy. I'll tell you what, you can't be sad in God's realm. Amen? Or maybe I preached something wrong. Did I preach something wrong there? You know what? He said, watch this. God said in His presence is fullness of joy. Now, maybe tonight you ought to ask yourself, you know what? My joy has been awful low. Maybe that's the problem. I'm not living in the presence. Because God said, in the presence of the Lord is fullness of joy. Now, that doesn't mean you walking around acting like a clown all the time and giddy and acting goofy. I don't know what that means. Joy can just be a sweet, you know, joy can just be flowing real calm, real peaceful. It might be bubbling, but there's joy there. Amen? Can I tell you something this week? You know why we need to be in the presence of the Lord? Because there's fullness of joy there. And when people see the fullness of joy in our hearts, they're going to want something you got. Can I tell you something? You say, somebody says, oh, this week you walking around, you sitting somewhere and you're downcast and you're all out of sorts. I say, oh, are you a Christian? Yeah, I'm a Christian. Where do you go to church at? Liberty Faith. Who's your pastor? Reggie Kelly. I wouldn't be happy either if I was you. Have had all that against me. You're saved. I mean, sometimes I wonder if that's not how people think. When they look at us who are saved, who claim that we live with God, and they don't see the fullness of joy. And I'm just going to tell you, I've been meditating on this. That's been her favorite verse for I don't know how long. And I just picked up on it this week that in His presence is fullness of joy. So when my joy is low, I'm not living in the presence like I need to. Does that make sense? So how many things we ought to scoot into the presence of God tonight? I believe we can have joy. And by the way, it's fullness of joy. Not half full, not three-quarter, two-thirds. Fullness of joy in the presence of the Lord. I'm going to tell you something. We need to live in His presence. Don't get off in the dark corner. I'm going to tell you, when I go off in the dark corner of Reggie's world, then that joy starts going down. Amen. Well, there's the next thing. Number six, there's inspiration. Inspiration in the presence of the Lord. Inspiration. You know what he said? Now watch this. He said, Lord, if you don't go up with us, I don't want to go. But he said, Lord, if you'll go with me, I'll go get them. I said this morning about Canada. Here's a town up there of 100,000 people with not a fundamental Bible-believing church in it. Now, I don't know if God called anybody up out of this church to go up there and start a church. And if you do, you're on your own. Amen? Don't get up here and say, oh, Brother Reggie, dump me off up here. Now I'm up here. See, can I just tell you a little something? I didn't come in on the last load of turnips. There's a lot of missionaries that get out there on the field and find out it 3 weeks later it's not quite as exciting as what they thought it was going to be. And all kinds of problems and satanic opposition hits them. Where's our preacher at? He hadn't called. He hadn't written. He hadn't emailed. Can I tell you, God will get you where there's nobody but God. But you know something? If God called me up there to go that, and I knew that's where He was leading me, and I knew that's where His presence for me in my life was, it'll inspire you. That's what happens to me. See, Reggie, you just get up there and act like you're just happy as you had good sense. You're all excited about preaching and working God, and you're all excited about mailing out 25,000 DVDs. And I am excited about it. I'm excited about people opening that up. I'm excited about them taking that wrapper off. I'm excited about them putting that DVD in. I'm excited about them sitting down on the couch and listening to John Bishop tell them about Jesus Christ. I'm excited that God would let us get the gospel to 25,000 people within 50 miles of here. I'm excited. You say, why? Because His presence is with me. You see, I'm going to ask you something. God could have picked another church to do that, couldn't He? Yeah, He could have picked another church to do that. But God in the presence. I'm going to be honest with you. For 30 years now, His presence has been guiding me. I tell you what, I don't know. He just gives me all kinds of ideas and He brings stuff in. You ought to try that. You ought to do that. And everything we've done don't work, but a bunch of them does. Amen. Amen. I got two emails there this morning. I mean, I don't know where they're from. I don't know if anybody even got them with me or not. I'm telling you something. It just, where they at? I don't know what I did with them. But I got two emails this morning. I don't know where they're from, but just about people getting blessed and getting help and getting encouraged, you know, stuff like that. I'm an inspiration. If God's with me, who can be against me? That's what I'm trying to tell you. God's presence inspires me. He said, if God's presence don't go with me, care about, I don't go to preach hardly. I don't know. Maybe I've done it, but I don't hardly ever go to preach. What I say, Lord, without You, I'm nothing. I can do nothing, Lord. But Lord, if You help me when I preach, God, it'll be good. Amen. That's the difference, amen. I don't want to get in this pulpit without God's presence. Amen. Now I'm going to throw you a curveball. Are you ready? Hey, you married couples, I'm going to throw something at you. Just put this in your pocket and keep it. If you'll make sure God's presence is in your intimacy in marriage, you will see glory. You listen to me. We're so funny. We think, you know, in life that, you know, there's just places and situations where God's presence is not there. That's a bad mistake. Now, I got quiet in here, but it's okay. It's all right. Might need to be quiet. Deep waters run still. That's going to encourage you. Now, I don't care what area of life you're talking about. You want God's presence. Enough. Can I tell you something? Marriage is sacred. Marriage is sacred. Boy, I don't know. My poor wife, sometimes she ought to go somewhere else. Because, you know, I want to consider. But I'm just telling you this. I'm just telling you tonight. We need God's presence in every aspect of life. That's what I'm getting to. God's presence encouraged service. Boy, I tell you what, if God called me to India to be a missionary and I knew He was going with me, it don't matter. It's God's presence that matters. It's not the place. It's not the people. It's not the obstacles. It's not the challenges. It's whether God's with me or not. If God's not with me, everything gets hard. Everything gets dull. Everything gets to be a problem. But if His presence is there. Let me give this to you tonight. I said Isaiah 41:10. You ought to look at that. If you've got that marked in your Bible, you ought to turn and look at that. Here's the first thing it says. Fear not. I'm talking about God's presence. If God's presence is with me, I don't need to be afraid. By the way, the 500 some times the Bible says to you not to fear or not to be afraid. If God says that, He knows that's a major, major challenge. If God said it one time, it'd be important. But when God says something 500 times, don't be afraid. He knows you're going to have trouble with fear. And can I tell you something? Now you're talking about fearful. You ought to try to pastor church. You ought to try to preach the Word of God. You ought to try to get up here and you're reading the Bible and say, oh no, Lord, I ain't going to like this. I'm just being honest with you. You ought to get up and preach and people looking at you like, I've had people literally step back in pews and just go like this and making sure nobody around can see them. I'm had it. I'm serious with you. That's not fun. That's why He told Jeremiah, be not afraid of their faces. Don't fear them people. The fear of man bringeth a snare. You afraid of people, it'll trap you and snare you. You won't be worth a plug nickel to God. Fear not. Why? For I'm with thee. Woo! If God's with you, it don't matter about the rest of it. I am. What's this here? Who's with Him? I am. The great I am. If the I am's with me, amen, it don't matter who's against me. I don't know. Boy, I tell you what, the more I'm listening, I'm telling you this good stuff, amen. If God's with you, who can be against you? The battle is the Lord's. I am with thee. Not I was with Israel. Not I was with D.L. Moody. Not I was with Jonathan Edwards. I am with thee. You claim that verse for you tonight. Fear not, for I am with thee. I am with thee. With thee. I'm with you. I'm with you. I'm with you. I'm with you. And Reggie, if I'm with you, who can be against you? I want to tell you what, folks, listen, you say this Sunday night, Ken, it's cold outside. Can't you cut this short and give us a little sweet 3 points in a poem? This is honest truth. So many of you shouldn't have showed up. I'm honest with you. I thought, man, there won't be 25 people at church tonight the way it's snowing out there. I drove up out in the parking lot, and the parking lot's full of cars. I said, good land of living, Lord, these people must love you. And you know what? But I was so excited. I was at home. I was working on this message. I said, God, I know there ain't going to be hardly nobody there tonight, but I'm so excited I'm going to preach it like the house was full. Yep. Why? Because he's with me. Amen. He's with me. Oh, my. Then he said this, be not dismayed. What's dismay mean? You're all discouraged. You're all put out about it. You're just about to give up on everything. God says, fear not, for I'm with thee. Be not dismayed. Why? For I am thy God. The great I am is thy God. I'm not worshiping Buddha tonight. I'm not depending on Allah tonight. The great I am is my God tonight. And because he's with me, listen, tonight I can be enthused. I can be inspired. I'm telling you what, I just like to think of it this way. I'm running out trying to fight the devil, and I'm just doing like this, and I ain't got no strength. And I turn around, and God's there, and the devil's worried about him. He ain't worried about me, but he's sure worried about God. Amen. Amen. He said, I am thy God. Be not dismayed. Look what he said. God said, I'll do three things for you. Number one, I will strengthen thee. I've seen God do that. I've been so depleted spiritually, physically, emotionally, literally go out in the woods and just like, Lord, there's nothing left. Now, y'all probably don't believe this, but there are some Sunday nights, especially Monday mornings, and I wake up, I feel like somebody just pulled the plug on the bathtub. That's just like everything within me is just drained out. I don't know what it is about preaching and about the ministry, but it just has the tendency to drain you out. And it's not a bad thing, because what it makes you do is cry out to the Lord. Oh, Lord, I need my cup running over again. Fill me up again. But I'm just saying this to you. God said, I'll strengthen you. I have seen God do that hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of times. When I've sat in that pew over there on Sunday mornings, so ragged out, so feeling so weak, I mean almost to the point of being dizzy or something, and y'all sitting there singing, and I'm trying to be enthused, and I'm trying to be, but come time to preach, and all of a sudden it's like somebody flipped the switch. I will strengthen thee. And then he said something else. I will help thee. Boy, that's sweet. Isn't it good when somebody stops to help you? Isn't it good God said, I, the great I am, will help you? That inspires me. You're going to go in the mission field? You're going to answer God's call in your life? You claim that verse. Fear not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. And then he said something. He said, when you're so weak you can't stand up, I'll uphold you. Can you see this scene? I'm flopped over like this and God propping me up. And he said, I'll uphold you with something very special. With the right hand of my righteousness. You all know what he's talking about. Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is God's righteousness. And it's Jesus that will hold you up tonight. Hey, you know what? Your old preacher's been claiming that verse for 37 years. Why don't some of you latch on to it tonight and just claim it? Say, Lord, you gave that to Reggie. He ain't nothing special. You can give that to me. I've lived in that verse. I literally have lived in that verse for all these years. And tonight it's more precious to me than it's ever been in my life. And you know what? Tomorrow you're going to go out and you can say, Lord, I don't need to fear, for you're with me. Lord, I don't need to be dismayed and think everything's going south. Lord, you're the great I am. And Lord, you're going to strengthen me. And Lord, you're going to help me. And Lord, you're going to uphold me with the right hand of your righteousness. Boy, about that time, a big smile will pop out of your soul, and you'll charge hell with a squirt gun and just say, glory to God and peace on earth, goodwill to men. Lord Jesus, come quickly. Here we go. And you'll head down the road by that. Well, anyway, the last thing he said he's going to do now because of his presence. Look down in verse number 14. He said, my presence shall go with thee, and I'll give thee anxiety and worry. How many's reading that NIV? Well, we just changed a few words. He said, he said, my presence will go with thee, and I'll cause you to worry and fret. You know what he said? My presence will go with thee, and I'll give you rest. He said, I'll give you rest. I do not know how to explain this. There's something. I like the word enthused. That has the word God in it. It actually has, what enthused means is that you're living in the power of God. Now, we use it for a lot of things. We can talk about cheerleaders being enthused at a football game. But that's not where that word came from. That word came from the infusion of God's power into your life. It means that you are living the abundant life. You are living a vibrant life because God's presence is with you and in you. Okay? Now, here's kind of a quandary. Here you are. You're all enthused. You're all inspired. And you're wearing yourself up. Paul said, I will gladly be spend and be spent for your sakes. A Christian is nothing more than a candle being lit for God and burning his life up for Jesus' sake. That's all he is. You're going to serve God, you're going to burn your life out for God's glory and for other people. That's the way it works. But what happens is, if you ain't careful, if you don't have God's presence, you won't get rest. Now you listen to me. This is so important. Why you want God's presence with you. You can serve God without his presence. No, it's not that God's left you and abandoned you, but you don't have his presence. Jesus said this, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Can I tell you something? There is a spiritual, soul, and even a bodily rest in serving the Lord in his presence. Labor becomes rest. My dad's not here tonight. He used to tell me this. We'd be putting up hay, cutting wood, doing whatever, fixing fence. He'd come home. And I'm going to tell you something. He would say, Reggie, we get in the milk barn. First old set of cows come in. Clean them up, put the milkers on. Dad kind of walk over to the side and he'd kind of lean up or he'd sit down. He'd say, boy, he said, milking is just restful to me. Now, I'm going to be honest with you tonight. I've never got to that wonderful place of where milking was restful to me. But that's the truth. Dad would say, when I get to the milk barn, and when pulsators of cows come through, he said, I just rest. His labor was rest. God's presence will cause your labor to be rest. Listen to me tight, tight. I appreciate the mothers of this church and the wives of this church. And I watch some of you. I mean, right in my own family tonight, there's two mothers expecting babies. Is that all? Is that all? Yeah, one done had that. Okay. What are you all laughing about? I don't even know how many daughter-in-laws I got. But anyway, no, I want to say this to you. I watched my daughter-in-laws, you know, having these children stuff, you know, and they're trying to help their husbands and, you know, and they got kids that are school age and they're, you know, boy, I tell you what, you get in that 28 to 40 age deal. I mean, you're trying to make it all happen. I'm telling you what, it can get on. Can I tell you, ladies, something tonight? Be sure that you're living. The biggest secret you'll ever learn from God is whatever's going on in your life, get in the presence of God. Because bearing those children, carrying those children, trying to do all that stuff and all the other stuff that comes with it, that it consumes your time. If you don't live in the presence of God, it'll wear you out. You get slapped, wore out. You'll just go. I'm going to tell you, one of the greatest days of my life. I do not remember what year it was, but it was probably 18, 20 years ago. I don't know how I did this, but, you know, there's always problems when you're serving God. You work with people, there's going to be problems. You construction guys, did you ever do a construction job without there being any problems? A few, not very many. You pastor a church, you work with people, there's going to be problems. Just the way it is. And, you know, you got church and, you know, school and, and this and that and the other and this, you know, and I don't know. And I had just let things just pile up on me. And I tell you what, I got to where I thought, man, I'm gonna explode. I mean, I can't handle it. It just loaded me down to where internally I was just, and there's a real danger of that because you'll explode on your own family. You explode on those you love the most. And I never will forget in my life, I went upstairs where Karen's sewing deal is. I was by myself with nobody else in the house. And I fell on my face on that floor. And I told God, I said, God, I'm telling you right now, I didn't call myself to preach. And if you don't do something in my life, I'm out of here. I'm done. I can't live in this pressure can. And I mean, I just poured it out and I didn't make no bones about it. I just like old Moses. I just told God how I honestly felt in my heart. And I'm sure I've said this before, but after I laid everything out to God and sounded like a spoiled brat and pouting kid, it was like a little tape recorder went off in my brain. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. Are you mothers listening to me? Are you fathers listening to me? My yoke is easy. My burden is light. Pretty soon I stopped the recorder, hit pause, and said, Lord, I know that verse. I preached on it for. Now do something for me. I need help. And God pushed the pause button off and said, my yoke is easy. My burden is light. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. I said, Lord, what are you trying to tell me? He said, I'm trying to tell you. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. My yoke is easy. He said, Reggie, I'm trying to tell you, come in me, all you that labor are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Amen. He said, Reggie, in all honesty, you're nothing more than a proud, cocky, little arrogant preacher who thinks that the world that wasn't making it to you came along. And you let the devil fill you full of yourself to where you think it all depends on you. And you've taken on yourself things I never put on your back. You've let yourself put it on. You let the devil put it on. And you've let other people put it on your back. I didn't put it on you. It's not my yoke. It's not my burden. Because my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And you know what that I did that day? I gave this church and whoever walks through these doors to God. And I said, Lord, I ain't nobody and I ain't nothing. But God, whoever comes in there, I'll try my best to preach the word of God to them, try to love them, try to do the best. But Lord, I'm going to love you first. And I'll tell you what, Lord, I'm giving up. I said, Lord, yoke is easy and your burden is light. I'm not going to pack stuff up. I can't make people be spiritual. I can't make couples stay together. I can't make kids not be rebellious. I can't make this happen. I can't do nothing. He said, that's right. You're getting somewhere. You're growing now, Reggie. And you know what? I cast my burden upon the Lord and he sustained me. And I want to encourage you and I love you people. You know, a lot of you men are working 2 and 3 and 4 jobs. You're doing your very best. You're wearing yourself out. I want to encourage you. God knows where you're at, knows what's going on in your life. But men, his yoke is easy and his burden is light. And I just want to encourage you. Sometimes, see, it's not the job. It's not all the stuff that's going on. It's the inward ability of God's presence to enable you to sustain that load. And I love you tonight. And we're going to go home. And I just want to tell you. He said, my presence will go with you. I want you to pray tonight before we dismiss. I want you to ask God, Lord, show me your way. And Lord, would you give me your presence? And mean it. You just pray the best you know in God in your heart tonight. Lord, I want your presence to be with me and my family. I want you. Lord, we come before you tonight. We ask, dear God. We're thankful tonight, Lord, that you never leave us nor forsake us. We're thankful, Lord, that you're with us even unto the end of the world. But, Lord, that special presence that enables us, God, to do the work, Lord, old Moses knew he couldn't handle it if you didn't go with him. He knew, Lord, the load was too heavy. He knew the burdens was too great. He knew, Lord, if it wasn't for your presence, he'd never make it. But Lord, he also knew that if your presence would be with him, he'd be fine. And Lord, we need to learn this tonight. I want to learn it good, Lord. I don't want to be jumping off on stuff, Lord, where you're not in. I want your presence, Lord, in my heart.
my mind. I want your presence in our home. Oh, God, I would tonight that when people come through the door, even drive on our property, they'd feel your presence and sense the presence of God. Lord, I want your presence in Karen and I's marriage and in our family, Lord. I want your presence in our work. Lord, we want your presence, Lord, in our church. And Lord, if you don't go with us, if your presence is not with us, carry us not up hence. But Lord, we know from this scripture, you're going to take us through. You're going to take us through the promised land, Lord. And you're going to go with us. So Lord, tonight we claim this precious prayer Moses gave. And Lord, tonight I pray that these fathers out trying to make a living, frustrated sometimes, Lord, with the setbacks and the disappointments, I pray, God, that they'll just seek your presence, Lord. Because if your presence, Lord, it can take us through the trials. It can take us through all the junk that Satan wants to tear us up with. Lord, in your presence is fullness of joy. And Lord, even when we can't see the purposes, Lord, we can trust you when we're in your presence. So give these men tonight your presence. Lord, I pray for the ladies of this church, Lord, as they're, Lord, needing four and five hands when they've only got two. I pray that your presence, Lord, will be with them. God, make us all cry out for your presence, Lord. Make us say each day, Lord, if you don't go with us, take us, Lord, take us not up hence. Lord, for our young people, Lord, they're just growing and they're facing life and they're on their journey, Lord. May they tonight reach out to you by faith. May each one of them, Lord, say to you, God, I want your presence more than anything in this world. Show me thy path. God, tonight I ask you a mighty thing. I want you to take this prayer of Moses, and I want you to make it the prayer of the heart of these people in this church. Lord, we need your presence. Thank you, Lord, for loving us, for even condescending to come and dwell with sinners as ourselves, Lord. Lord, may this week we walk in your presence. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.